Blog Talk Radio.
You are now logged in to GrudgeInc.us, the number one source for grudge racers coast to coast.
Are you ready? Coming from the great state of Texas, it's Atomic Dog Tuesdays and Grudge Madness.
When you're out there walking the street, you may compete.
Good evening, Rage fans. Welcome to another great episode of Grudge Inc. sponsored Atomic Dog Show. How's everybody out there tonight? Hope everybody's doing fine. Been enjoying some racing. Getting ready to enjoy some more racing. We deep in the heart of racing season. But before we get started, before we get Ernie on, man, I received some more sad news of a guy passing away this weekend. All I know is he showed up at the Grudge races, and he was always on the Grudge Inc. Atomic Dog Show. The guy's a fan. His name is Kevin Kennedy. Any of y'all that know his family, our condolences go out to him. Early passed away over the weekend. And as you know, we always want to take a moment of silence for Kevin Kennedy at this time. Rest in peace. God bless Kevin Kennedy's family. Okay. That being said, we got to go with getting Ernie on. Let Ernie do what Ernie do and get his great tech tips out here from Comfort Car. How you doing out there tonight, Ernie?
Hey, Tracy. It's a great night tonight. Everything's looking good. I'm sitting here watching the Little League World Series. Can't ask for any better baseball to be played than what they're doing right now. Hey guys, this is Ernie with CompuCar Nitrous Oxide Systems. You know, bringing you your tech tip for the night. If you got any questions, need help, need any equipment, you know, give us a call 1-800-648-7687. 1-800-NITROUS, easy number to get in touch with me. And we'll work with you on your combinations. Like if you got a problem or if you're doing something different, you know, give me a call. And what I want to bring you some information tonight, and we talked about it last night on the Ask Ernie Tech Talk show, was that a lot of guys are switching over and going to the closed front ends. And they're creating some problems. I had one racer we was working with that went to a closed front end and a inverted cowl scoop and had a scoop sealed up against the window. Well, his problem was that he had lost 20 miles an hour. You got to remember that these cars have got to have air coming into the carburetors. So if you're running where it's a single four, two four, or anything, the slipstream, the air going around the front of that car, is so slippery, a better way to say it, is that the air doesn't tuck back up under the wheel well. Not enough air tucks back up under the wheel well. It actually creates a low-pressure area and pulls the air out from underneath it. So the front end acts like a piece of plywood going down the road. And it's just pushing the wind out of the way. Well, when it's pushing that wind out of the way, it's pushing the air out of the way. It creates a low-pressure air behind it. Your motor cannot pull the air into it. Your motor has to be, for a better word, pressure-fed. It has to have air being scooped up, fed into it. And also, you don't want your engine breathing that hot air around that engine. You know, your engine's 200 degrees, your headers are 1,300, 1,400 degrees. You got carbon monoxide under there. You've got hot water running. All that heat is going to affect the proper amount of oxygen that's getting into that motor, and your motor's not going to run right. You know, we was talking last night with little Mo with Mo Speed Shop about what he recommended on hood scoop clearance. And, you know, he was saying you got to have a minimum of 3 inches above the carburetor. Well, I've always been, you want 4 to 6. Three, you can get some vacuum unless you got some type of pressure feeding coming in. 3 to 6, it's got enough scoop coming in that you're going to get the fresh air being pulled in from the top of the hood. And that's the way the hood scoops are designed. And, you know, I've said it before, the pro stocks have spent millions of dollars designing that hood scoop so they'll get just the right amount of air into the carburetors and make sure that the carburetors are sealed off so they get that pressure going into the carburetors. And so if you're going to go to these front ends, these closed front ends, you're going to have to provide a forward-mounted scoop area to get that air turning into the motor. You've got to get that motor sealed off from the carburetors. And as we've said before, you know, do the flashlight test. With a car in the trailer or in your shop, turn off the lights. Turn on a flashlight, put it in the hood scoop. Look under the wheel well. If you see light, you're leaking horsepower. Because everywhere you can see light coming out around that pan, that's pressure that you're losing that's not going into the carburetor. Doesn't sound like a big thing, but you could easily lose 15, 20 horsepower just by not having the pan sealed up. Because if your pan's not sealed against the hood, you do not create pressure coming down through the scoop. You got air coming in, but it doesn't build up pressure. And anybody that's ever raced a turbocharger or a supercharged car is going to tell you it's all about boost. And when you pick up free boost, you use it. On the conversation last night, we was talking about the grid also and some of the problems people have had with the grids. And Mo was talking about one of the problems he has had was scatter readings on the dash panel being caused by interference coming from the coil wire going to the outside. Make sure that if you've got your coil inside the car, or even if it's on the outside of the car, that nothing runs near those wires. I like to see 4 to 6 inches of clearance between any of your MSD wiring, control wires, and any of your high-tension wires. High-tension wires being your coil wire, spark plug wires. You know, your crank trigger. Don't run that up around the spark plug wires. Keep that down low on the frame and tuck it in, and then go over to your MSD unit. If you get up around those wires, the way an electronic signal is sent, or high voltage, it creates a magnetic aura around the wire. When another wire intercepts or intercedes into that area, it actually creates a charge into that wire. So you could have a wire that's totally dead, not even connected to anything on either end, pass it through an area with a high voltage wire, and that single wire that's not plugged to anything will have voltage on it. It's called induced voltage. So make sure that your high spark, your high voltage wires, spark plug, coil wires, are by themselves, and then run your control wires, pickup wires, down, keep them clean, and keep them away from all that noise that's created by that coil area. By doing that, you're going to get a more truer spark, you're going to get a hotter spark, you have less chance of getting a cross arc being caused by the voltage of those high tension wires giving a false signal back to your MSD unit. You know, they are working on very low voltages for that magnetic pickup. So it doesn't take a whole lot for 80,000, 90,000 volts to create a voltage and give you a false spark, and you can have a backfire. And what Mo was talking about, he had seen, is the gentleman had run his nitrous line out through the same hole that his coil wire went through. And that the nitrous line, under heavy loads, was grounding out the coil wire. It was arcing over to it. And, you know, the only way you're going to solve that is move the wire. And also, if you're running that coil wire through the firewall, make sure you put that heat shield over the wire. And make sure that the hole in the firewall is not only large enough for the wire to go through, make sure it's got some airspace around it, and make sure that the lip of that hole has got a rubber insulator on it. That's going to stop it from possibly chafing into the wire. It's going to stop some of the arcing, and that heat shield is also designed to stop the electricity from cross-arcing by itself. So pay attention to these little things. They can drive you absolutely crazy trying to figure them out. And by keeping all your wires separate, you're going to solve a lot of problems. You know, wiring doesn't wear out. What wears out is the fittings on the ends of the wire. Make sure they're crimped on good. Make sure it's the proper connector for what you're doing. And, you know, as I've said before, don't use a $1.99 crimper to crimp a terminal on a $100,000 motor. If it's a bad connection, when you find it, it's too late. Get you a good set of crimpers. They're going to cost you about $40, $50. They'll last you a lifetime. They'll last you a lifetime if you don't loan them to somebody. Because if you loan them to somebody, you know they're not coming back. So buy a good set of crimpers. Use the good terminal ends. Make sure when you crimp it in, grab that sucker and give it a tug. Pull on it. If you think, well, I'm going to pull on it, I'm going to pull it off. Well, if you can pull it off, it's not a good crimp. It's not a good connection, and it's going to create you some problems. So pay attention to it. It's the little things that will put you out of a race. Very seldom is it the big things. So if we can help you out in any way, give us a call, 1-800-648-7687. It's 1-800-NITROUS. And guys, reminder, September 1st is the last day of our bottle sale. The price of nitrous bottles are going from $165 to $210. So if you think you need bottles, now's the time to get up and get them on the way, because that sale is going off. Tracy, I'm going to turn it back over to y'all. Guys, y'all keep it safe, and I'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, Ernie. Appreciate that. All right. Anybody on the show have a upcoming event, and when they want to announce the upcoming event, you come on at this time, push the one button. You got an upcoming event. Let me see. She's in the private room right now. Let me see. Push the one button. I see if I can open your mic. If you got an upcoming event, you want to come on, announce your upcoming event. Hold on. See right now. Hold on. Here's one. 214-4005. Batman, what's up?
What's going down, Tracy?
Not much, hey, man. Just trying to get to another day.
Check this out, man. Man, everybody know what's going down. This Saturday, man, at Prairie Hill Dragway, man. Y'all already know we doing the big brush fest down there. The boy Batman is going to be down there with the bat. Man, I'm going to one of the guys, Calvin Cage, he said he wants some more. And guess what? If the Falcon want to do something, y'all come on down, because I heard y'all been talking. Y'all want to do something, I'm going to try to 2-0 you Houston boys. I would do the Dallas versus Houston on y'all. And one thing about it, man, we got a small top class, man. And I promise you this, man, no Dominators, man, small cars, these 950, small 4150 carburetors, man. We're trying to give all these smaller cars a chance. Man, we got a lot of people coming from the gut, man, down here, Yellow Belly, coming down there, want to do some racing, man. First time out, these guys ain't never traveled, man, so it's going to be a whole bunch of them, man. Also, we got a shootout for the small tire class. Once again, also, we do have another shootout that we're doing. Man, everybody's putting up $100, man, and we're going to go at it, man. We're going to do it old school style, man. I don't care what you got, man. Put your 100 in, see how far you can get in the race. But, man, I, like I said, man, the gate's going to be open at 4 o'clock, man. We're going to race until we can't race no more. Man. The last car. So, y'all know what that means. All night racing, man. All night racing. So, y'all, come on. We're going to do our thing now. We're going to do it best out, man. We got a lot of people coming from Houston. Hey, man, I got a bounty right now. Hater shake your head right now. The bounty. Whoever whooped Hater shake that night, pick up $200 out of my pocket, man, because I'm sick of it, man. So, y'all know what time it is. If y'all want that money plus some money on top of whatever you're trying to do, hey, man, we're doing it down at Perry Hill, man. Y'all come on out. Appreciate it, Trace.
All right, man. Thanks. Okay. All right. And if you got a show, you push the one button if you want to announce your upcoming show. Etiquette, I know you got one. Sleepy, you out there, I know you got one. Whoever's got an upcoming show, you can push the one button right now. And let's get that out of the way. So I want to be able to see your hand. So, okay. I don't know who exactly filled it. They got a hand up, Sharon. Can you see that? They got a hand up. Let me see. She in the private room. Let me see if I can find it. 832-9924.
Tell me, Cal. Yeah, what's going on?
Okay.
Yeah.
What up, Cat?
I just want to let everybody know about the Let's Get It On September 6th. Man, we got a hell of a shootout. We got a 28-29 shootout. We got $2,000 guaranteed purse. We already got a good feedback on it. This is a class that you had ran, Tracy, and it was a class up in Louisiana. We're trying to keep this class going so it can grow and get bigger. So it's very important for you small tie guys, get on in this class because it's only going to grow. We don't want to kill this class. But anyway, we got 5870, and we got multiple brush races going on. We're also going to be giving back to the kids. We got fun without a gun. You know what I'm saying? We're going to start off with that very early. We got a hell of a program. Gates open at 3 o'clock. We're going to go racing at 6. We got the Invasion of Louisiana coming, too. We got quite a few guys out of Louisiana. We got the Madisonville Boys. They coming. We got New Orleans coming. It's going to be a hell of a show. You guys get there and get your seats and get ready for some racing. A lot of grudge racing will happen. We don't have a curfew at HMP.
Can't sound like you're fading out.
How's that?
Okay. I hear you now.
Okay. But I was finished, though. I mean, you know,
okay.
I don't know what y'all heard or what you didn't hear.
No, we heard you say the last thing you were saying, you got a good show with HMP and talked about the deal with the kids, which is a good thing. We heard it's just the end, the last few words, whatever you say, faded out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I said that HMP don't have a curfew, and they are a grudge-friendly track. Just about all the grudge races should happen. Only way they won't happen if one of the cars break. So we're going to see y'all at the races.
All right, Kat. All right. All right. If there's any more hands out there, hold on. If it's about a show or something like this, hold on. 832-4718. Hey, the shaker, what you got?
Oh, how y'all doing, Trace? I'm sorry. I had pushed that one button every time I hear that dude's voice. Every time I hear Batman voice, man, I just get mad. My fist all about the goddamn self. Well, you do know that his ass ain't safe either. And before he all the track down in Prairie Hill, we hope that hell like somebody get on his ass as well. So go on with the show, sir.
All right. You can push one button if you want to talk. Okay. All right, man. With that being said, those upcoming events we got. Yeah, go ahead.
One more thing. I apologize. Just out of cash. I just want to let everybody know. In Texas and the surrounding United States, if you own 28 or 29, we got a car that's looking for action. He's not asking no questions. If you own 28 or 29, he's looking for some action. So we're going to see if we're going to step up to the plate. It's got to be a door slammer. We ain't talking about no roasters and dragsters. It's got to be a door slammer.
All right.
Hit me on Facebook. Info.
Okay. All right. All right, man. Following all those races that's coming up, as you know, all roads lead to Texas makeup race is going down September the 26th. Man, we got a, some people made some commitments trying to step up with the back half thing, paying $3,000 to win, no entry fee for the back half. We're going to see the back half going to step up and see who's going to be the baddest back half on September the 26th. That ought to be an interesting show. Also, we got 28, 29, no Willie Bar, paying $2,000 to win, no entry fee. That ought to be a class. Like Cat say, we're trying to grow to 28, 29 down this way until it get bigger and we get a lot of cars that we can separate it. We will, but right now we're doing the best we do to try to bring it together. Man, that's a no Willie Bar, 28, 29. And if you got a turbo, it's got to be a certain size. It's got to be a certain size. We don't want no guys coming in here just dominating the class. But it is an open field. Then again, as you know, we got Tony Boss Bynes coming to town. He said it's easy pickings every time he go to Texas. Why not? He said Texas ain't nothing but like just taking candy from a baby. So we put a $500 bounty up on Tony Bynes' head. So whoever challenged Tony Bynes, if you happen to win with your money, you got $500. Hey, or just knock off Tony Bynes and you got $500, because we got $500 bounty on top of his head. And he told me he coming to Texas because he know Obama boo ain't no problem. He said he missed him in Louisiana, so he got to come all the way to Texas to get him. And King B, he said the pain freak. He don't know why the man keep trying him, but King B do what King B do. So September 26th, mark your calendars, HMP. Gates going to open around 2 o'clock. Man, we want to have a night of fun and continue the grudge racing. Any lock-ins for that race, get in touch with me. Come on the show. Call your man out. Once we get past these next couple races, man, we want to try to turn it up another notch and, hey, go out and have some fun in the grudge world. Now, with that being said, you know, we want to talk about some things because there's been a lot of conversation going on about a race that happened. Sometimes you wish the talk go away. Sometimes you think is enough enough. But this is the deal. We know there's always a lot of things happening in this grudge game, and it's not always seem to be fair. Some people get the short end of the stick, and we hate to see that happen. But in this grudge game, we try to pick people to be dependable DP men, honorable DP men. And when we do that, it should be a agreed upon party between the two races who that DP person is. And we saying at the end of the day that guy is dependable and his integrity, he would do the right thing. With that said, everybody know there was a controversial situation. And when we have a DP man, and this, let me just give it to you. According to the grudge game and the grudge rules, for some who may not understand it, once you choose a DP person, his job is then to enforce the rules or the stipulations that are agreed upon by each party. And they have the option to choose Are we going grudge rules or track rules? They have the option to choose. Once that agreement is met, the DP man is only there to make sure that it's being carried out. And if there's any controversy situation that come up, the DP man should go to the tower, especially when it's dealing with, did he hit the wall? If that's one of the things that they said in track rules, did he cross the center line? Hey, was anything wrong with the clocks? Any situation come up that the DP man cannot make a clear, or he decides to make a clear, conscious decision, and it come into question, then he should go to the tower and collect all the information he can to try to help make the best decision. Now, with that being said, the tower just gives him information. The DP man makes the final call. In grudge racing, we all hope, we all wish that the call be fair. In some cases, as though this one is, there's a lot of people feel like it wasn't fair. But that said, man, in this grudge game, there's going to be some controversy. There's going to be some good and not so good calls. Do that make it right? No. Can we do anything about it? We try our best to, but does everybody cooperate? No. That's the sad thing about it. Because we individuals, we have opinions, and I know, and everybody who have an opinion have a right to express their opinion. The DP person makes that final call. In this situation, after the call is being made, it's always going to be a problem if the call ain't made right. And that puts it on the DP person as one part of that judgment, because he got the final say. When he collects information from the tower, if it help him make his decision, he have a right to choose information if he see fit, or he can say, I have a good enough decision. In whichever case, it put that DP person in a position to always be questioned in a controversial situation. And to people, to each his own, people can see it many different ways. At the end of the day, particular race, there was a call that was made. There was a call that was made. It's not publicly, and from a race team that lost money, wasn't favorable, and it put the DP person under the microscope, along with the information he received from the tower, which was, from my understanding, as talking to the DP person, received the first part of the information to help him make his call. Those two people, just my opinion, accountable. If he made the decision and the people in the tower supported his decision and he made the call and paid off and that payoff wasn't right and people voiced their opinions to try to get them to see it a different way and they choose not to, it puts a bad, bad taste on the Grudge game. And I'm going to say this from a Grudge Inc. member. Because a person may happen to be a part of an organization, the whole organization is not accountable. An individual, DP person, have to accept the responsibility of the role he or she played. If they made the decision which they thought was the best decision and is not favorable, and 10, 15, 20 minutes later, somebody from the tower come change their decision because they got more information that something else happened, it makes it even worse. It makes it even worse. Why? Because at that time, we know the money done went 20. There's a possibility of the money done went 20 different ways. Who's accountable? Who's supposed to make it right? We have a lot of opinions about that. We have a lot of opinions about who should make it right. We have a lot of opinions about should people be barred from tracks based on the decision that was made among a couple of people. Just think about that. We ask these people to do a job, and we hope that their integrity is in the best interest of the sport, and they make it. And if it don't favor you, what do we do? Is it anything we can do? Does it change? If it don't change, at the end of the day, how do we move forward? How do we correct it and put measures in place to where the trial, where you can prevent it from ever happening again? That's what we got to do. A lot of people don't like the call. When you go back and you collect a lot of different information, you tend to find out there was a lot of different things going on, and people, the ones who keep up with it, the ones who were there, the ones who follow the internet, the ones who get on the back line and make conversations, there's a lot of information that comes up and things that come out publicly to try to help influence that decision to correct it. Number one, people, we constantly talk about overcrowding that start line. We constantly talking about people should stay back on that starting line.
Tracy.
In a case. What's up, Joe?
Yeah, but you got all night to talk. Shut up. Let me talk a little bit.
Okay, let me finish. Let me finish, Joe. You gonna have your time. This ain't the Pro Style Joe show. Let me finish. So I'm doing what you do all the time. I might give a 25 or 30 minute speech tonight, but you do it all the time. So sit back and ride and get a text of your own message. I'm trying to go somewhere, hoping at the end of the day we can, as your words, take the teach of a moment, find out what we can do to try to move forward and try to correct it if there's anything we can do at all. But I think something got to be done. And one of the things I'm going back to was that starting line. You look at that starting line, you look at where the beams are on the, where it will start the clock, and you look and you see people in the area where the beams are, that's not a good sight. That's something we definitely have to prevent. If guys up there, and they got folks down, you got it. Guys have to make sure that they look around, they got to help. I think the starter should make sure before he do anything, he look around, he got to help. I believe if people in the tower discover something that they see that's not right, then you should notify the starter. We got to do something. In these big money situations that can be very controversial, is it a good idea that we put somebody down at the finish line video on that stuff to where we can have more than one way to correct something? If the bad call comes from the tower, that we can have information for the DP man to help influence the decision in a positive way. We as a grudge community, we have to do something. You know, we can beat a dead horse all we want to, but it's not going to bring the dead horse back. You know, I understand there's a lot of shit going on out there. I understand that there's a lot of, hey, man, this grudge race is a lot of bullshit. You know, it's a lot of bullshit. And I understand people see it, and I especially tonight, for the last 3 days, people done seen all kind of information. There's been tickets posted on the internet. There's another thing that the track has to be accountable for. How do someone else's ticket get posted on the internet? How was that possible? How did somebody drop the ball and somebody get somebody else's time and post it on the internet? Man, all those things are not supposed to happen. Moving forward, we as a grudge community have to find ways to try to make this better. I don't have all the answers for it. I'm just a messenger putting out information based on some things that happened that shows there was a bunch of shit that wasn't done right. And we as a community, man, we got to find ways to move forward to make sure stuff like this don't continue to happen. So it puts a bad name on individuals. It puts a bad name on the grudge game. It puts a bad name on the track. But guess what? Hey, man, we got to do a better job. So one thing that I've heard and y'all seen, I don't know if we got Gene on here. I don't know if we got anybody that have any positive information to how that we can improve this sport and make it better. I said, and I'm going to say it again, people say you can change the past if you just pay. Okay, will that change anything, or that just made it right for the person who might have been on the truck team that might have felt like they lost the money and the guy paid his money back? How about those 20, 30, 40, or possibly 100 people that was betting on the side that lost their money and we don't have an idea who they are? You say, yeah, but we're not concerned with that. I understand, but does that make it right for all those folks also? You know, so if there's a lot of things could be said, good or bad, but at the end of the day, we have to try to do a better job to make sure that this don't happen again. Now, with that said, hey, is there any suggestions? Does anybody have anything positive to add to it? Joe, I know you want to talk. Now I'm going to shut up. If someone want to speak, want to come up with something, Gene, if you on here, hopefully we can get you on here, Sharon, you call them again. Man, we need to come together and find ways how we can get past this nonsense, because this is something that happened in a bad taste and a lot of people's mouth. So at the end of the day, we're going to have to move forward. We got to bury the hatchet some kind of way. So, Joe, you want to speak? You can have the floor. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, Tracy. I appreciate you for having me on, man, and I ain't gonna be long. But as you said, you know, we got to look forward and make sure this don't happen again, because we don't want to leave a bad taste in people's mouths, the people that bet on the side or the people that was involved in the race. Now, there were breakdowns in a lot of different areas. Let's talk about that first, and then let's talk about who's responsible, and let's talk about how to fix it. The breakdown, number one, okay, the Mustang, his crew was the first people that failed him. They should have made sure nobody wasn't standing near them damn lights. They know, we've seen too many times how people can stand in the lights and can trip the tree and do all kinds of, even make a car red light when it don't red light, you know. So that's number one. His crew failed him. The track crew failed him by, the track crew and the track officials failed him by not making sure their starting line was clear, by not making sure security, you know, I'm sure security was having, they weren't doing their job. Ain't nobody supposed to be beside those cars. Everybody's supposed to be behind the cars at the very least. At the very least. Nobody should be beside those cars. And then the third thing is, the DP man failed him. From what everything that I hear, I don't even know who the DP man was. Don't know his name. Don't know his identity. Don't know anything. But it does not seem like he was an honest broker. From what I can tell, you know, he seemed like he was dancing and more excited for them winning than they were. And the second piece is, there's no way a DP man pays off under controversy without having both sides together, without talking about it, without making making sure that, you know, everybody is in agreement. I mean, everybody understands, at least. When a DP man has to make a call, somebody's not going to like it. We know that. But as far as I can tell, this was done in a rush. There is no, when you're talking about that kind of money, there is no rush. You know, a few more seconds, a few more minutes, an hour, whatever the case, is not going to hurt anybody. I'm sure both sides, whichever side was the one that got ruled against, they got ruled for, I'm sure if he was on the other side, he would have wanted the man to take a little more time and make sure he got it right. Not get it quick, but get it right. DP man's out, they have a big responsibility. And that's why they should be get a lot more respect than they do. But by the same token, is they got to be accountable. Now, who's responsible? The DP man. Somebody said earlier today that the DP man was a rookie, yada, yada, yada. Well, listen, this is a big boy sport. And in everything that you do in life, you pay for your mistakes. You know, just because you're a new driver, you get into an accident, you pay for your mistakes. You run a red light, you pay for your mistakes. You speed, you pay for your mistakes. You pay for your mistakes in life, you know, because you didn't know something. Go ahead.
Froze up. Check you out, this Batman. Everything you say is correct. There's some things you just ain't saying right, though, man. I mean, we had this talk show last night on my show, me, Tracy, we are all on the phone. What you said about the DP man, you don't have to be a veteran to be a pro to be a VP man. You just got to have a good understanding. Now hold on, let me stop, because see, one thing I hate when people do is say something that they really don't know what's going on. Let me tell you something. They've been talking about this since Sunday, and that boy had a talk show on Sunday, King B. I had one on Monday. This is 2 days of talk. But let me say this, okay? For one thing, I disagree about it's the DP man fault. I'm gonna tell you the reason why I say that. Because if you're gonna put him at fault, you're gonna have to put the official who gave him that call at fault too. Because see, the thing
that was my next point.
Hold on, Batman.
You're going off in topic. You're going off into your segment after cutting Joe off. Let Joe finish his, and then you can come back and say yours. Because you cut him off, and then you want to float. Let him finish going where he was going, then you just pick up.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you talk. Go ahead.
I'm going to be quick, Batman. Well, like I said, number one, the DP man is accountable. And what I mean by accountable, I mean he shouldn't have gave that money up, and he owed that money. And not only him, but the track officials. Number one, because they didn't clear the starting line, I paid you my money to come in this track. And what that meant was, or if the guy rented the track, or whoever the guy rented the track was, or if it was a track event, or if it was a 50-50, they were both responsible. I paid you my money to come in grudge race, because you said you're having a grudge event. You know what grudge racing means. That means we're betting big money on these damn races. Not every race, but you don't know one way or the other. So you got to treat every race the same. All right? So when I'm betting my big money on this race, I expect that nobody's going to trip these beans. Just like you expect me to pay my money when I come in, I expect to get what I paid for. I expect to come on the racetrack, the lights to go down, and for me to have a fair race, not nobody in the beans tripping them up. So the track is responsible for that money as well. Now, if he gave that and the track gave him the bad information on top of it, oh, that's even more so. You know, so the track and the DP man owed that man that money. And not talking about his side, the 6,000. I'm talking about the whole damn thing, because that man won the race. You know, and now, how do we fix it going forward? Well, the track got to do their job. Number one, keep the starting line clear. Then number two, the DP man got to be more diligent. You know, when it comes time to paying off, if there's any kind of controversy, you take your time. You know, people talk about shooting and they rough and they gruff and they do all that. People say all those kind of stupid shit, but ain't nobody, I ain't never heard nobody really going to that level when, like I said, I had people threaten me as a DP man. So I didn't pay off or didn't do this or didn't do that. They ain't never do nothing. They ain't never do, wasn't no president threaten me. That motherfucker tell me they were going to kill me if they ain't give them the money. I didn't give up shit. I said, we got to wait. You know, when the time comes, you get your money, man. I ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. If it was you, you would want me to take my time, make sure I got it right, then get it quick. All right? So people are going to try to pressure you as a DP man. But at the end of the day, the track owe that money, and that DP man owe that team all their money.
Okay. All right. Batman, go ahead.
Okay. What I was saying, Pro Star Joe, is what you, I think what you're missing and pointing out on this whole situation, the man did exactly what he was supposed to do. Now, if you come back 30 minutes and say that it was a malfunction in the light, come on, man. 30 minutes? Really? Come on, man. Now, I'm going to ask you this. I even asked Tim Foden yesterday, and one thing about me is what I'm going to do. I'm not on nobody's side. I'm just saying on what's fair, man. Because the thing is, this is, and I hate for people to put a jacket on somebody's back when it's not really due for that, man. Because the thing is, this is, the man saw the light, the man asked the official, asked one of the officials up there and asked him, they came to him and said the truck had won. The man paid the money out. Now, 30 minutes later, they come back and say it was a malfunction in the light. Come on, man. 30 minutes, Pro Stock Joe? Really? So if that's the case, then every race we have, every race that go down in the garage world, that means that a person come back 30 minutes later and say, oh, that race wasn't good. Chaos. So I'm saying to you is, it's like anything else. You got a DP man and you got an official that's up there in the booth. Okay, what you said was totally correct. Those two were supposed to have a total responsibility in what's going on. So if the man asked the man, hey, man, you know, who won the race? Man, truck won. And then the official come back and say 30 minutes later, say, oh, it was a malfunction. So you tell me who at fault. See, I don't sugarcoat nothing because I'll never do, man. I'm just telling you what it is, man. But the only thing I can tell you is everybody putting King B at fault. The man is not at fault, man. Because for one thing, they chose the DP man from the beginning. Two is that the official and King B had a choice to make. It was a choice up there in the tower said it was good. So that's what that man did. It don't matter if the man was jumping around or whatever he did. I told King B, all thing I fought him for, if he did have bet with D&D, I thought he was wrong for that because being a DP man, you're supposed to be neutral. And if you was betting, nobody wasn't even supposed to know because you're going to make the other person feel uncomfortable. That's what I thought he was wrong at. Anything else, if he did bet it. But anything else, man, I don't think the man at fault, man, because like I said, the man asked the official up there on top, who won that? But they come back in 30 minutes, come back 30 minutes and say, oh, it was a problem with the lights.
If it went down like that, that make a difference. I didn't know that part.
Now nobody telling you that. So I'm
That's what I was saying, Joe. But okay, Batman, okay, you got your point, and that's what I was saying. When they make the first decision in the tower, you know, that's when the decision came, when the tower was asked, that's when it really got wacky. But we got another very important person on here want to speak, because he's saying wasn't nothing wrong with his clock. So Gene, your mic is open. Can you help out on it? We gotta find some kind of solution to where this shit don't ever happen no more.
Well, what do you want to know? First of all, when they asked the tower who won, it said the computer girl said it shows the left lane won, but nothing came up in the right lane. The guy said it shows the left lane won, and everybody went crazy after that. There was no being allowed to say nothing went wrong with the right lane or anything like that. Which, you know, I'm just gonna tell everybody right now, if you ain't with the car, you ain't on my starting line. That damn simple. You don't like it, don't come to North Star.
And you're absolutely right. But see, you know the problem right now. If the DP man heard that statement, that complete statement, the left lane won, but it showed nothing for the right, that's a red flag.
That's a red flag, right. But see, that part right there with Gene saying, And that's what I said. I say, man, did they say that? Did they say something about there was a no time? Because if there was a no time, that's a red flag. And worst case scenario, you got a malfunction. It can easily be called a no damn race. You know, or you could have said, no, man, the clock messed up. Nobody gonna lose. It's a malfunction. But Gene said, well, nothing wrong with his clock. Gene said now they said both and nobody heard it. So the longer it go, more information comes. But the DP man said, the person just said the left lane won and then later on came back and said it. So that's where it got all thrown out of whack. You know, but we got to find a way.
Is that the guy? Yeah. Is that the guy right there from the tower?
This is Gene. Gene is the owner of the track.
Right. So the question is, right, the question is, and this is a crucial point. If the guy told the DP man, forget what they announced to the crowd, if the guy, whoever was in the tower, if he told the DP man the left lane, it showed left lane one, but no time for the left lane, for the other lane, red flag. Stop right there.
I know, but pro side, this is what I'm saying. Gene saying that right now is what was, Gene is saying that was said. Yep. Wait a minute. Hold on. King B, push the one button if you're on here, because I thought the same thing what we saying now. If the guy said that about the left lane, that's a question. Everything got to stop. There's a problem. But King B, you on here? Push the one button if you're on here.
If he said it that way. If he didn't say it that way.
That's what the problem is, because King B, Cheryl, you see King B number?
No, he's supposed to be on somebody else's phone, but
Gene B, whose phone are you on? Either. Y'all push the one button. Because the conversation keep coming from the DP man. Is the man, this is the conversation from the DP man. The man just said the left lane, the truck won. That was the only information that have come out. But the longer it go, and Gene said that his person said, he said the left lane won, but no time was in the lane. If that information got said to the DP man and the DP man ignored it, then that's even more problem. But let the DP man say what he said.
Well, like I said, I don't know if they said, they asked who won the race, because my guy on the starting line was like, what the hell? I mean, you can look in the video and look at him, and he's like, what? That ain't right, because the right lane won. He knew the right lane won, but he radioed up there and said, who won that race? And she said the left lane did, because somebody asked him, and he said the computer said the left lane won. Hold on one sec. What's that, huh?
Somebody just texted me. Tracy, can I read this text?
Yo, King B is on there. King B is on there. He was a DP man.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he just got on. He just got King B. King B. King B, is that you come on mute? Sharon, is that King B? Mike is open.
Another thing. DP man will be at the end of the race, at the end of the track on every race. Period. No exceptions.
Hey, Sharon, is that King B number right there?
He must have been.
469-0591.
Hey, Tracy, can I read this text?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I don't know who this is from. It's from a 214 number, 214-2660. It says the DP man was with the winners at IHOP celebrating how they won their money because he bet with them and posted the picture on Facebook. I just got that text from a 214 number.
Yeah. Sharon, are you there? Sharon, are you there? They must can't hear me, because I believe this is King B number. I don't know. Sharon, are you there?
Hold on. Tracy, wait. We got stuck in the private room. King B. Hold on. Wait. King B. Nah. Let me.
I mean, it's showing his mic open, but we can't hear.
Yeah, I know it. I know it's showing he's open, but you couldn't hear either one of us.
Open my mic.
Your mic.
Open my mic.
Wait a minute. When you asked the tower who won, what information did, what all information did you see?
Let me correct it. I never had a chance to go ask the tower. The tower got in contact with me because I left on my golf cart to go get Cam down there at the finish line. I picked him up. I got back there to the trailer. Two little dudes pulled up on the little moped. One of them jumped off. He was just looking in the crowd. Y'all know how people be looking in the crowd. He said, King B. He really didn't know who I was. He looked in the crowd and said, King B. I said, hey, what's up, little buddy? He said, hey, man, hey. My dad's in the tower. I'm his son. He said that it was a clean race, blue truck won. I paid off. 20, 30 minutes later, that's when the controversy started. I don't know what they want me to do. Everybody telling me to fix it. I tried. I asked D&D. I said, what do y'all want to do? I said, will y'all run again? They said they not going to run for free. They already had a lot of people in their pot. They already, by the time I blinked twice, the money was split up. I don't know who was in the pot. I did not bet in the pot. I was not in the pot.
Are you saying you had took off down the track before a decision was made? That you didn't know that there was a problem on the starting line?
No, it wasn't no problem on the starting line. That's what I'm telling you. It was not no problem on the starting line. I had both the men. I had one dude. I don't know his name. He's a big cocky dude. He's like, you know, big cocky dude. I'm gonna keep it cool. It was a big cocky dude, and it was if I ain't tripping, it was Flynn. Before the race started, they both counted the money out to me. I counted it back out to them, and I told them, I said, listen, when that wind light come on, I'm gonna pay off. I said, either to you. Or either to you. They said, that's what I want you to do. I said, that's cool. They said, cool. Okay. Once the race blasted off, I'm not going to lie. Y'all know King B. I was turned up. I wasn't worried about how fast the car. I seen the wind light come on. Yeah, I turn up. That's what I do. Everybody know that's what I do, regardless if I won the race or not. I turned up. That's what we do. I bring action to the track. When I come to the track, I turned up. Man, these boys just won a nice-sized bet. Shoot, I'm happy for them. I turned up. I turned around. I looked at the big cocky dude. He drops his head. I said, hell, he took it like a man. Flynn said, King B. I said, that's right. He looked at me and said, where my check? I gave him his check. Everybody was celebrating on the line. Everybody was celebrating. Quan said, B, go get Cam. I said, okay, cool. I jumped on my golf cart. I took off to go get Cam. I guess that's when the controversy started. Because I was down
in other words, you're saying right now, your decision was made when you saw the wind light.
Yeah, when I saw the wind light, I paid out. It was everybody was crunk. It was no controversy. Everybody was hype. Everybody was in the moment. People were like, no, man, we lost our money. You know, people, it was pandemonium. You know, people was crunk. Yeah, we won money. People was like, damn, we lost money. It wasn't no problem.
Hold on.
Let me just ask you one question. You hear what King B said? Man, I'm telling y'all, I'm going to stay neutral, but I'm just telling what I hear. Timmy said everybody paid off. Everybody paid off. If it was a problem then, why it didn't happen right after the race? If they thought they actually won that race, why it didn't cause a controversy right then?
Okay, let me just add this in here. So I hear what he's saying, But if you got a guy down there, if you just, I'm just gonna put this out. If you got a guy down there racing a guy, and the guy in the right lane know he beat the left lane down there, that guy in the right lane thinking he win. And if he get a ticket and don't have nothing on there, he gonna go crazy. So you might get the reaction a little bit later down the track. Or that guy in the car, if he's in the right lane and he know he won, hell, he gonna know he won. At least he gonna think he won. Then he get his ticket. But, he don't have no number on there. He gonna know that's a problem.
There's two conflicting stories. The owner of the track just said the starter immediately called up to the tower to ask who won.
To him, it looked funny.
And man, he was not even at the track. Other people that called me today.
He said the starter called up
to the tower because it looked funny to him that the Mustang had clearly won, but the truck wind light came on. That's why he called up to ask. That's number one. And number two, that's what a few people have said to me so far anyway today, that everybody from the starting line could see that the Mustang won. Everybody could see that because he was clearly out front.
Everybody can see it now because everybody watching the video.
Yeah, but let me ask y'all a question. Did the driver, if he thought he won, and that's anybody. If I was in that seat and I thought that I actually won this race, you don't think not one time I'm gonna hurry up and get back up to the front and try to get them from stopping paying off because I know I won? Did he do that? Did he?
What if the driver didn't see that his wind light didn't come on? If he clearly out front, he knows he won. He's celebrating. He's thinking he won. He ready. He know his money coming. He money safe. He ain't got no reason to panic. I know I won.
But what I'm saying to you is this. If the guy thought that he actually won this race, somebody's going to tell him, man, you won. Good race. Did that. When they told him he lost, was it 30 minutes later? Who was the person actually saying it was a malfunction at the light that caused the controversy?
Well, did the starter, immediately call up to the tower? Did the starter immediately call up to the tower and ask who won the race? Did he immediately do that?
My starter?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can look in the video and look at my starter. After the wind light come on, he looked over like he was puzzled, like, what? Something ain't right. And that's why he called up. And he said, who won? And she said, it shows the left lane won. Nothing showed in the right lane. So evidently, that's when controversy started. But to me, it don't matter. Whoever's in the left lane and whoever's in the right lane, when you drive a car, you know who won. And if it was tight, it was tight. That race wasn't tight. That race was not tight. I can look on the video and see there was car lengths in between the Mustang and the truck. That's why I asked Lorenzo on the phone, and I said, Lorenzo, what'd the driver say? And he said the driver told him the race was tight. He couldn't tell who won the race.
So all I'm saying is, wait a minute. All I'm saying is, so are we sitting here going to war over a video? People, majority of everybody who's talking wasn't even there. That's what I'm trying to get about.
Like I said, on the internet, who needs to fix this is the drivers and the owners of those cars. Nobody else, period. I know what I'm going to do to fix it. I know exactly what I'm going to do to fix it. What somebody else chooses to do to fix it is totally different. But like I said, everybody needs to butt out and let the drivers and the owners of the car fix it. Me, I would make it right. That's me.
That's very commendable for you, and that's a stand-up guy thing to do. But what we're trying to do not only is examine this situation, because we want to protect this sport. This is a sport that we've grown, that we've started out in, and we've given a lot of blood, sweat, tears, time, energy, and resources to. And we don't want this kind of thing to happen again. So that's what this conversation is about. It's not about accusing anybody, blaming anybody. It is trying to talk about finding where the flaws, where the cracks, where it went wrong, what the breakdown was, and so that when we see what happened, we will know the warning signs, the red flag, and we'll know so that it won't happen again. That's what this conversation is about.
Yeah. I fully understand
that. But what a lot of people don't know is you just can't get to my sensor, okay? Anybody that's been at North Star knows my sensor, my concrete wall is 2 feet wide at the bottom, okay? That sensor sits 12 inches inside that concrete wall. So it ain't like you can just make that sensor, have that stage beam stay like that. It has to be deliberately done. Whether it was or it wasn't, I have no idea. I ain't accusing nobody. All I'm saying is I looked at the video and I said, that's the problem. Y'all asked me what the problem was. I told you what the problem was. It wasn't my computer system. That's all I'm saying. Because every time somebody said, oh, this is a computer malfunction. Well, it's a computer issue. Was that other car? Nobody told the starter, but that's a whole different subject. But on this subject, they asked me. I looked at the video yesterday. I told everybody what I thought and what I said and how I'm going to fix it. Period. The days of all these people on the starting line is gone at North Star Dragway. Just for this simple fact. Because I'm not going to have somebody else get messed around on money like that. This is all fun and grudge racing. We all do it because we love doing it. It's a great sport. It's awesome. But you know what? There has to be some boundaries. And now there has to be boundaries because
but
of
you know
things
what,
like
D?
This.
You know what? It ain't so much people on your line, man. It ain't really just that because I really think at this rate of amount of money was betted, people going to say anything when you win or lose, man. And I don't really think it had nothing to do with the people on the line because it honestly.
Oh, it absolutely did.
You look at the bitches, you clearly see like people sitting over there by the beam.
King B with the DP man. Before the race even started, bro went out in front of the whole crowd, say everybody back up. D&D team members. It was one on the left side, one on the right side, and they went to backing people up. Stephon Crew sat there and did nothing. Gene just said his beams is 2 feet wide on the bottom. So I'm going to ask Gene, like you said, your beam was stated. So are you saying somebody on the outside of that concrete wall can strip that beam?
Somebody on the outside of that concrete wall.
Yes. Can somebody on the outside of the concrete wall?
I will take a picture of it tomorrow and post it up, and you're gonna see it's not possible. You have to deliberately do it.
Okay, that's all I'm asking. Is it possible for somebody to stand outside that on the grass side of the concrete wall to trip the beam?
Yes.
Okay.
Whether it happened or who did it or if it was even done, I have no idea. I wasn't on the outside of that wall. I don't have video of the outside wall. All I know is how to fix it, and that's what I'm going to do. So it don't happen.
Gene, another question that came up. Another question that arrived. There was a ticket posted on the internet, and the question come up, how did somebody get D&D's tickets because it was posted on the internet?
I think Stephen gave it to Tony. Yeah.
D&D's
talking about his site? No, his site.
No, it has D&D.
Any time. Well, I don't know who posted that up. The race parties get their ticket at the end. We split them. What you do with them is what you do with them. It ain't me. My guy ain't posting nothing. He ain't taking no pictures or nothing. So whatever the race crews do with those tickets, it ain't mine. It makes no difference to me. And that's another subject that needs to be brought up. When grudge racing, there ain't going to be no time slips. That'll fix that real quick.
Gene, I love you. I love you, Gene. Good God, I love you. That's real grudge racing right
there.
That's real grudge racing. No tickets, doctor. No tickets on grudge racing.
Hey, but Gene, let me ask you a question. Everybody keep talking about these beams on these lights, my trip to life. Hey, come on, man. I used to work at a track. I used to do all this stuff. I don't know how your life
Batman, 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 Batman. Save your...